Greetings, Cap fans, and welcome to episode 71 of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. I am your host, Rick Verbanis, and as always, I am joined by the best gosh darn co-host out there. That would be Mr. Bob Lucius. Hey, Bob. Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Do you want to do karate in my garage?
Yep.
There you go. Bob, do you know what that's from?
Step Brothers. That's right.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I had a Will Ferrell smell to it.
Yes, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly, a national treasure, both of them.
Yes, absolutely. That was a funny movie of 2008. Yeah. And so you may be wondering, Rick, why is your intro this time a quote from Step Brothers? Well, because it's a good buddy movie. Right.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, because today we're going to be covering the new miniseries Captain America Iron Man, which is a good buddy feel kind of comic. So I thought, since we're kicking this off, right, this is I think it's a 6-issue miniseries. We're going to be covering issues 1 and 2 today. And then next month we'll do 3 and 4. And the following month we'll do 5 and 6. And I'm going to try to do a quote from a buddy movie each time we do this. So this time it was Step Brothers. And that was the fun. that was the cleanest quote I could do from Step Brothers. Everything else had some sort of curse word or some sort of reference to a body part. But it was a funny movie. Bob, how you doing this week?
You know, I'm doing okay, man. I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Keep it busy, you know, feeling faint.
Why? Are you on a hunger strike trying to lose some weight?
This was a bad, bad idea, Rick.
You know, I was a little worried last time when you were like, oh, Rick, you're not going to like the answer.
Yeah.
But here we are. We're in, a month into this?
This has been a month, huh?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, you know, it has been, so since January 1st, right? So here we are.
My cognitive abilities have declined since we started this.
You're so all lightheaded.
I'm not sure.
So, Bob, we've talked about different songs. You know, just for those who maybe have not heard, Bob and I have a wager. I mean, we both said at the beginning of the year, we want to lose 10 pounds. And essentially, we had a little bet to just keep us motivated, right? To make sure and keep us responsible and just keep us kind of going in the right direction. And well, you can't have that without some sort of penalty, right? So the loser of this bet, right? The winner who loses 10 pounds first gets to pick a song that the loser must sing. Only 30 seconds, so it's not going to be evil. We've had a couple of good songs so far. I think I had said Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Then it was Divinyls, I Touch Myself.
Excellent song.
Right. Then the third week, Bob, you and I
synchronicity.
Had the same epiphany.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Mm-hmm. We great minds think alike. We both said Wind Beneath My Wings.
Yeah.
Now, Bob, what were the songs that you had in mind?
Well, you know, I initially thought Def Leppard, Pour Some Sugar on Me. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason, that classic from the mid 80s, Salt and Pepper's Push It.
Real good.
Yeah, came in. Yes, exactly. Came to mind. And of course, yeah, The Wind Beneath Our Wings. This week, I don't know. I'm on a Sheena Easton kick. I don't know if you remember Sheena Easton.
I sure do.
Yeah, you do.
She was a hottie.
She was. I had a crush on her as a young teen male.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been listening to a little Sheena Easton this week. And so, you know, I'm thinking Morning Train.
God knows I sang that song a bunch when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's a classic. Or you know, or Strut, you know, that was another classic, you know.
Yeah, Strut.
So yeah, so it's been definitely on my playlist this week. So
gotcha. Well, I think those are great classics. Certainly would be a challenge, I think, if to sing those. I went with more modern. Because we're doing a modern comic today, I thought maybe a more modern song. I mean, it's probably, I don't know, in the last 5 years. Hey, to us old guys, that's a modern song.
A modern song, yeah.
Right? So I was thinking maybe you should sing this.
Yep, that's it. That's a modern classic right there.
Yeah. So I was thinking maybe you should sing that one, Bob.
Yeah, okay. Well, if it comes to that, you know, who knows? Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, listen, you had me worried before. So what from the beginning to now, how much have you lost?
All right, I'm down 4.9.
Oh no. How is that a bad week? Yeah. You're crushing it, dude.
Well,
you're halfway there.
Well, it seems to have stagnated around that. So
whatever.
I'm just not sure what I can do to like go below that.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I'm stuck there. So
in the last month, all right, I've lost 3 pounds.
All right.
So you're crushing it, man.
Are you working out?
I am. Right. I go to the gym now.
Not lifting weights, are you?
A little bit, yeah.
All right. I'm staying away from that, man. That's why this is.
You're trying to lose some muscle weight.
Yeah, I'm going. Well, it's not that I have much muscle weight to lose at this point, but I'm trying not to put muscle weight on.
See, I am. You know, I'm trying to, you know, yeah. I'm trying to tone up a little bit, because you know, I'm getting married.
Yeah.
So
right.
Know, yeah. Trying to.
You want to look good in that tuxedo T-shirt, right?
Exactly. Well, I was thinking more of the spandex for the honeymoon,
the little Chippendale sort of bow tie and cuffs on the wrists. Yeah.
Nothing else. Yeah. No, I mean, like, listen, my pants fit better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
who knows? Yeah. Maybe I am getting some muscle and losing, but whatever it is, I still think my 3 pounds is probably a higher percentage of loss than your 5 pounds body.
It probably is, you know? Yeah. Because, you know, we're starting, you know, I mean, we talked about just what we started with in terms of overall weight.
Yes.
Right. So percentage wise,
All right. Well, now you got me all worried. So we'll have to ease up on the
pie.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We'll go with that. So hey, Bob, we have a new review in iTunes. You know, remember back in 5 months ago, I put it out there. Like, hey, we get 10 reviews on iTunes and we're going to give away 3 challenge coins. We're up to 6. Yeah. But, you know, it's more about quality than quantity. Yeah. So,
right.
So we got a good one here. This one is from Ryan the Temp 1990 and gave us 5 stars.
Right. The Temp.
And
is that an office?
I think that alludes
to Office Ryan the Temp? I don't know.
Maybe.
Find out. Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a while. So the title to this one, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Rick and Bob equal awesome. Awesome is in all caps, exclamation point. And he writes, Captain America is one of my absolute favorite Marvel heroes, and this podcast is essential listening for any Cap fans. Listening to Rick and Bob rap Cap will be a part of my listening routine for a long time to come. So thank you, Ryan. We appreciate that.
That is nice. That was, if I may borrow a word, awesome.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. And you are going to be in the running for a Cap Challenge coin. Speaking of Cap Challenge coin, there is a patron who joined a few months ago. His name is Tom. And I'd like to mail Tom his What Would Cap Do Challenge coin, but I don't have his contact information. So Tom, if you're listening, please send an email to capcomicfans@gmail.com. So that's capcomicfans@gmail.com. Let me know your full name because I will be and your contact information, and I will get that coin out to you. So Bob, one of the big things that we were talking about in the Facebook group, and if you haven't been to the Facebook group, you need to check it out. It's just go to Captain America Comic Book Fans on Facebook and you will find us. We have over 4,000 Captain America comic book fans there. Really busy group, lots of stuff going on. But the big news was the anticipation is over. We now have a new Captain America series. And Bob, we have two new Captain America series. And so you could probably go on our site and see it or just Google it. But there is a coming out in April, a Captain America Zero, which is going to come out April 20th. And it is a one-shot. It's written by Tochi Oyembuchi, Colin Kelly, and Jackson Lansing. And the art is by Mattia De Luis. And I apologize if I mispronounced any of those names. And it has some really cool covers. There's a Steve Rogers cover by Alex Ross. There's a Sam Wilson cover by Alex Ross. And then there's this really cool wraparound variant cover by Mark Brooks. And this particular Zero issue is starring Steve and Sam together, talking about moving forward as you know, who should be Captain America. And they're going up against at the time Arnim Zola. So there's an attack, an explosive attack by Arnim Zola, and so anyway, spoiler alert, they both will. Okay, so the Sam Wilson gets his own series, and it's called Captain America, Symbol of Truth. And that comes out in May. And then Steve Rogers gets Captain America, Sentinel of Liberty, which comes out in June. So pretty exciting, Bob. We get two ongoing series.
We do. And I love those titles. And I'll tell you, if Tom Brevoort is listening, and we've had Tom on the show before, I want to give Tom a big hug for this. And if Alana Smith is out there listening, we haven't had Alana yet. Hope we get a chance to have her here. But I want to give her a big hug too, because two series. And I'm super excited about this, Ray.
I am too. And so there's been a speculation of what is the series going to be about? What creative team's going to be on it? Are they going to start over with the number one? Well, of course they are. We knew that. Mm-hmm. I have lots of questions. I got to be honest, these creators, I'm not familiar with. So I had had to do a little research, right? So I'll start with the Sam Wilson Symbol of Truth series. So Tochi Oyembuchi, and again, I apologize if I'm not saying that correct. He's actually a novelist, and he's a young guy. I think he's like in early mid 30s. He's written some novels that have been nominated for many awards. And so it'll be interesting, you know, having him come on board. I think he did write one comic that I'm aware of, which was Black Panther Legends. I think it was just like a one shot, or I don't know. But he did that last year. So he has limited comic book, but you know, he's more of a novelist. So it'll be interesting to see his take on it. And then the artist is R.B. Silva. And again, not familiar with the name, but then when I looked him up, certainly familiar with his work. He's been around for over 10 years as a comic book artist, or about 10 years. And he's worked for DC, Dark Horse, and of course, Marvel. And when I looked at his Marvel work, Bob, he's done a lot of Captain Marvel, Fantastic Four, some X books, nice run on Star Wars. He's got, you know, some good credits, you know. Uh-huh. I looked at, you know, from the art that I could see, you know, it's pretty good, right? So so that's the Sam Wilson book. Then for the Steve Rogers book, the Steve Rogers book, The Central Liberty, it's actually written by two people, Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing. And I wasn't familiar with their work either. They did do some DC work. I think one of them did Action Comics and Superboy. The other one did, you know, some Gotham books, some Batman books. So they've done more of that. But and then for Marvel, not too much. For Marvel, actually, and they've written together for Marvel. So they did the Kang the Conqueror, I think 1-5, and then the Devil's Reign, which is like a miniseries that's out now, starring the entire Marvel universe, but you know, based on the Kingpin. There's a one shot called Devil's Reign Winter Soldier. I haven't had a chance to read that, but the two of them wrote that as well. So they seem to be a partnership. I don't know if one does the script, one does the plot, or they combine, but those are the writers. So again, not too familiar with them, but the artist, her name is Carmen Carnero. And so Carmen, she's from Spain, but she's been around for a little bit. She's been drawing Miles Morales, Spider-Man, and Captain Marvel. So she's got, you know, a little bit of a Marvel run in her. Marvel is doing these Stormbreakers, you know, these different artists, as you know, they're calling them Stormbreakers, basically these younger up and coming artists. And she was one of those. So that's your creative team. What are your thoughts, Bob?
Well, you know, I just read that, Devil's Reign Winter Soldier, and I really liked it, man. The writing was sophisticated, you know. It was kind of dark in some places, actually, but I thought it was well written. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, I like, you know, we've had this discussions in the group about bringing kind of fresh talent in. And in particular, writers who may or may not have written much with comics. Mm-hmm. But you know, tonight we're gonna be reviewing Captain America: Iron Man 1 and 2, and Derek Landy. He started as a novelist and has a lot of chops under his belt writing novels. He has a whole series of books, and he did all the screenplays before he started working for Marvel, and has had a few pretty good successes with Marvel. So, so you know, it can go either way. But I'm open to these new creative teams, or relatively junior creative teams, and to see what they bring to the table.
Yeah, I am too. I'm very excited to see number zero coming out in April, and then the new books coming out in May and June. And you know, who knows, maybe we'll try to get some of these creators to come on the show and talk about it. Yeah, that would be great.
And actually I think, you know, Carmen Carnero, I think she did one of the variant covers for the United States of Captain America.
Oh yeah.
I think it might have been issue 1 or 2, but one of the variants she did for that.
Well, both these artists, Carmen and RB, had worked on the 80th anniversary special of Captain America. So they've I don't know. Go, if you got that issue, check it out, and you'll get to see a little bit early on how their take on the characters are. I'm glad you brought up Derek Landy, who is the writer of the Captain America and Iron Man comics we're about to cover, because I wasn't familiar with Derek's work and before we did the Falcon and Winter Soldier miniseries from 2020 and 2021. And if you have not read that, I highly recommend it. It was a fun, talk about a buddy story, right? Uh-huh. With Sam and Bucky. That was a great buddy story. And it was a lot of fun. And one of the main antagonists in that miniseries is one of the main antagonists in this miniseries. So that's where the connection is too. And if you haven't, we did cover it. So go back to listen to episode 27. So in episode 27, we did cover the full miniseries panel by panel, and you get to hear all our great comments and fun quips.
You know, he also wrote, I think that might have been the first thing he did for Marvel, but he did this short miniseries. I think, I don't know, it was like 2018 or 19, on the Black Order. And that was a fun little miniseries too. I just read that recently. I mean, if anybody can make the Black Order fun, you know, that's saying something, right?
I hear you.
Yeah,
hear
you. You know?
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, so let's get to it. Let's get to Captain America Iron Man number one. So you can't miss this cover. It's an Alex Ross cover. It's beautiful. And it has Cap's shield front and center of the cover. And then looking at it, Cap's to the left, Iron Man's to the right. And it's dark with some light coming behind them. So there's a lot of shadow going on. And then Iron Man in his various areas is glowing. There's some reflection off the shield. So it's a very moody cover. So it looks really cool. And then the inside on the opening splash, which has like the titles and everything, it says Captain America Iron Man, and then it has the shield, and in the center of the shield, rather than Cap's white star, it's Tony Stark's chest plate emblem. So it's kind of a combination of the two, if you will. And it reads, empowered by the super soldier serum during World War II, Steve Rogers is the Sentinel of Liberty, known as Captain America. Billionaire industrialist Tony Stark wears high-tech armor of his own design as the Invincible Iron Man. Over the years, they have been fellow Avengers, friends, and occasional foes, but always heroes. So this is, as we mentioned, Derek Landy. Artist is Angel Unzueta. Colorist is Rochelle Rosenberg, or maybe Rachel. Letterer is Joe Caramanga. And then the editor is Alana Smith. So we cut to the opening page, and there's a Tony Stark on the edge of a bed, sitting up, the shirt off. And there's a young lady, a blonde lady, laying down on her bed, and she's looking up at the ceiling, and it says, years ago. And she says, wow, when you, Mr. Stark, you are a man of many talents. That's what I keep telling everyone. And the proposal? I proposed. My proposal. You proposed? My project, Tony, the interface, the human AI interface. You said you already had a look. You said, oh, you have no idea who I am, do you? I'm not going to lie to you. No. Oh, wait, I remember. This is the interface where you attempted to compensate for the eigenvalue discrepancy by hijacking a Stark Tech subroutine. You came up with that? Yes. Well, no, my team did. They worked the problem. I worked the people. And at this point, they're both putting on clothes. Then you need to work better people. The approach your team has taken is already outdated. We were doing stuff like this 6 months ago. But last night, you told me you saw great things happening in my future. I meant in here, in the bedroom. You are such a bleep. Oh, come on. Now, I feel awful. If I feel awful that I let you on. I genuinely didn't mean to. Let me. You think it's because we slept together? Listen to me. You were the least integral part of that decision-making process, okay? My problem is that you just told me the last 2 years of my life have been wasted. What the hell do I do now? I was relying on that funding. I'm about to get thrown out of this apartment, and I love this apartment. You work with people, huh? What? People. You work well with them? And you're not a scientist? Your field of employee doesn't have to be science-based? You know, when you said eigenvalue, I have no idea what that is. Then have you ever heard of SHIELD? You'd get me an interview at SHIELD? You don't even know my name. Sure I do. It's and then we cut to next page, and it's present day. It says now. And we have Veronica Eden sitting, that's her name, by the way, in a courtroom in front of a judge next to her defender. And the judge says to her, Veronica Eden, on the charges relating to infiltrating SHIELD and the U.S. government on behalf of the terrorist organization HYDRA, how do you plead? And by the way, what he's referencing is what we talked about in episode 27, which was the Falcon and Winter Soldier 5-issue miniseries. There's been a mistake, Miss Eden. You're here simply to enter a plea. I get that. I do. But listen to me, Judge, whatever your name is. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening when you came in. Judge. That's your name? You're Judge Judge? Wow. And the defense attorney is like, Veronica, that's some nominative determinism right there, huh? And then he bangs his gavel. Miss Eden, what does it matter, right? Fine. I plead guilty. Let's do this. So we cut to the next page, and she's in a prison transport, handcuffed in her orange jumper suit. And we get her inner monologue. One of these days, I'll learn to keep my big mouth shut. I doubt there'll be any time soon, though. And then you hear the guards in the armored van. Hey, look up there. Who's that? Is that Iron Man? His armor's different. His armor's always... That's not Iron Man. And sure enough, there's this floating figure up there in some sort of suit. And there's this big ball of lightning that comes down and makes a huge noise. What's the sound effect there, Bob?
Kershak!
And then so she says, and her inner monologue continues, there's just so bleep much to talk about. And then the next page, we see Iron Man flying in on the bridge between vehicles, coming towards this truck that just blew up. Boss, alert the emergency services and deploy warning beacons. Deploying. Oh, wonderful. And then what he's letting off, Bob, are these like little spheres that stop from behind him, and a hologram comes up to play in front of the the citizens that are driving. Citizens, please take cover. Iron Man is working to resolve the current situation as safely as possible. Citizens, please take cover. Iron Man is then just kind of repeats. So Iron Man comes up to the floating character, and it's Bob. How would you describe this villain, if you will?
You know, he's as you said, he's got, you know, some iron. It's sort of looks like a turquoise or a teal sort of armor, teal and black. But his helmet reminds me of Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah.
And his face looks like a stereotypical alien.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the bald, big black eyes, long face. And Iron Man is flying up to him while this alien is shooting at him with the electric rays. I know you. You're 51, right? One of those kids we trained up for the 50-state initiative. Aren't you a good guy? Boss, recent updates regarding the alien entity known as 51. Entity wanted by authorities in Minneapolis. Really? I'm not upset. I'm just disappointed. And he grabs him and he throws him to the ground. Boss, bring up the charges on my HUD. You killed 3 people? And he takes and he throws him against the truck. Stand down, 51. This is your only warning. You know the worst thing about Tony Stark? It's not the money or the womanizing or the ego. It's how damn nice he is. A genius billionaire shouldn't be that nice. It's annoying. So busting out of the truck that he threw 51 against, there's these 5 armed, very, very armed soldiers coming out, and they're firing at Iron Man. Go, go, go. We need covering fire. I got him. Damn it. Yeah. And then they shoot a rocket at him, which hits him and makes him fly back into the truck where Veronica is in. And so she busts out, and then the soldiers come over to keep firing at him. Keep him pinned, keep him pinned. And Veronica's like, don't shoot me, you idiots. But on Tony's intercom is a voice coming in. Tony, need some help? You in the area, pal? Just passing through. And the next page is a half splash page of Cap coming off of the bridge over top, flying down, jumping off his speeding motorcycle. And then the motorcycle goes and hits a couple of the soldiers and, you know, causes a little explosion. And then of course he lands in a nice heroic pose with his shield. And then back to Veronica's inner monologue. I'm not too fond of superheroes. They're big and loud and brash, and they make the rest of us look bad. Just passing through my... Oh, I've got 51, Steve. You got the SUV? I've got it. And then so he starts chasing after the SUV that's pulling away with Veronica, and they're firing on him. Cap hits it with the shield, but then he comes up and he breaks open the vehicle. And he's fighting them. And then inner monologue says, villains aren't all murderous scumbags who want to enslave humanity, you know. Some of us want a better world, a better way of life. So Cap, now with the vehicle going faster, he puts his shield on the ground, Bob, and he's standing on it like a sled, and he's holding on to Veronica. So he's speeding behind the thing, and of course there's sparks coming from the shield. And she says, oh, for God's sake, somebody give me a gun. And then she fires at a bus, and she takes out their tires. And of course, while she's doing this, her inner monologue says, some of us care. Tony, she shot out the wheels on that bus. On my way. And then he jumps, crashes in through a window of the bus, and he lands and he says, those of you who are able to, please assume the brace position. I don't want anyone to worry. You're perfectly safe. You have my word. And then Tony, and he puts up his hand while he's saying that, Bob. Tony comes and he stops the falling bus and grabs it. And he says, "Sorry, I'm late. I had a bus to catch." Ha, brilliant. So then he puts the bus down and Steve's there helping people off the bus. "Thank you. Thank you for remaining calm. I used to have a poster of you on my wall. I swear, if I were 30 years younger." "Oh, he's dreamy. Very kind of you, ladies." And then Tony's a little jealous. "I literally caught the bus." So then they're back at the scene and Cap's filling in Tony. "Here's what I know. Veronica Eden moved from SHIELD into a government position, keeping tabs on Hydra training camps. Turns out she was vying for the Hydra Supreme title by siphoning the best new recruits into her own little army. Bucky and Sam took her down, and Sam asked me to keep an eye on her. That's why I'm here." "Why are you here?" "Veronica, she came in from the private sector. I met her, actually, got to know her a little. Saw she had a potential and set up a meeting." "You slept with her, didn't you?" That was when I was back when I was partying, okay? I didn't make the best decisions back then. I was in my long hair and stubble phase." "You're still in your long hair and stubble phase." "I like that phase. But that's not the issue. I got her in the front door of SHIELD, Steve. They did their due diligence. She would have passed all the background checks. But who knows how many corners they cut when they saw my name on her application. I have to know if she joined Hydra before or after I met her, Steve. I have to." She made friends in her government job. Did you know that? A few contacts in the Senate. She's a people person. One of these contacts was Senator Todd Baker. Baker's been trying to get SHIELD up and running again. Maybe some significant progress, too. You think was planning on sabotaging his efforts? Maybe. Or if Veronica had been successful, then she'd be running Hydra, and Baker would have been able to get SHIELD back in service. Between them, they'd have control of both sides of a war and be able to coordinate the ensuing battles anywhere they saw fit. Battles that could destabilize any regime around the world. And then a police officer comes and hands Cap his shield. "Thank you, officer. Veronica's holdings have been seized, so there's nowhere for her to go. But Baker's a senator. That means his name's attached to multiple lists of projects, and here we are. Boss just dug up two lists of SHIELD safe houses linked to Baker's operations, compiled 8 months apart. One safe house has disappeared off the most recent list. Looks like someone has something to hide." So we cut to the next page. And we're at the safe house, Bob, and it's nighttime, and we're in a big warehouse. And 51 is there with Veronica and a few soldiers. But we can't understand 51, right? Like, we can't even make out, like, there, it's in a language we can't understand.
Yeah.
And so 51's speaking, and Veronica's like, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. "Okay, you realize I can't understand a word you're saying, right? I appreciate you helping free me, but my team says you want something in return, something from Hydra. Thing is, I'm not Hydra. You're going to want to talk to that purple-headed jerk face Zemo if you're looking for..." "Wait, that's what you want?" And he hands her a picture. "Yeah, I could get that. No problem." And then there's a big explosion, Bob.
Kathoom!
And then you see, back to her monologue, "Bleeping superheroes, always with the exploding." Next page, Bob, we have four heroes walking in. I've never seen these before. Have you?
Only one of them semi rings a bell.
So we have four heroes here. It's Pioneer, Vox, Prima Donna, and Think Tank. Now, this is not their first appearance, although it is the Paladin's first appearance. These individual characters, it is not. They were in like comics from 10, 15 years ago, for like when they were doing the initiative after Civil War. Mm-hmm. Which one do you know?
Think Tank.
So Pioneer is a Caucasian woman, blonde, dressed in a prairie outfit.
She looks like a pioneer woman. Yeah.
Right. With a bonnet and everything, carrying a rifle. Now I had to look her up, Bob. Mm-hmm. Her superpower is she's able to summon the powers of the prairie.
Wow.
So I think there was one issue where she was fighting a zombie Hyperion that she raised all the skeletons of the dead cows to attack him.
Well, howdy, y'all.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Then we have Vox. Vox is in a black outfit, and then he's got some design across his chest, like just like some zigzags. And then the same type of zigzags across his eyes on his mask, and they glow. It's kind of a cool costume.
Mm-hmm. I almost bought that mask for Halloween last year.
Yeah, why didn't you?
I didn't know if it'd get here from Shanghai in time.
Oh, okay. Would it have the same powers as him, which is an electromagnetic powers?
Nope. I think it only had the power to scare small children in the neighborhood.
Ah, well, Bob, you do that by yourself. Prima Donna, she looks like a gym enthusiast with her biker shorts and her halter top and gloves and almost like a boxing gear head rest.
Yeah, right? I was thinking like a roller derby or something.
Sure, I could see that. Yeah. And Prima Donna's power, she's strong. We don't know how strong, but she's strong. And then Think Tank. Now, Think Tank looks like a human, regular guy. He's cut. He's got some muscles. He's wearing kind of a gaudy costume, orange shirt, green pants, and a cape, like a dark orange cape. But he doesn't have a head, Bob.
Yeah, he reminds me of Leonidas, Sparta. You know, remember that?
Sure.
Yeah, he has that physique and that cape. And
yeah.
Yeah, but you're right, no head.
No head, no head. He has a globe for a head. And then inside the head is a floating brain. And not just any floating brain. It has two eyeballs and appears to be a mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
You know what's even weirder, Bob? On the globe, he's got a head tie. Because in case the globe sweats or something.
So his Karate Kid's big. You know, so maybe, yeah.
Apparently. So Pioneer, Vox, Prima Donna, Think Tank, the Paladins, members of various groups from the 50 state initiative who reckoned they could do a better job without government supervision. Can't say I blame them. And then Vox says, 51, we're going to need you to power down your suit and come with us. You've got some things to answer for, and we don't want to hurt you. Prima Donna says, Miss Eden, you better advise your people to lower their weapons. They're making me angry. And then Think Tank says, please, 51, we used to be friends. But 51 says something. I'm thinking it's a curse word because Think Tank says, whoa, dude, uncalled for. Next page, everybody starts firing on them. And Vox is like, Paladins, take them down. And just then, Veronica says, stop, stop, everyone stop. There's no need for violence. Can't we just all? And then coming from the ceiling, bursting in, because, you know, Iron Man likes to burst in through walls and things.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cap's with him. And it makes a big noise.
Rush!
And Veronica's like, talk about this? And then she's like, bleep it. Kill everyone. So everybody starts firing on everybody. And Vox is like, Pioneer, you stay behind us. Don't you worry about little old me, Vox. I could take care of myself. And she's hitting people with her gun. And Veronica grabs 51. Come here, you. Get me the hell out of here. And Think Tank gets shot. And then Iron Man, he's like, we'll be having no more of that, young man. And he takes the gun out of someone's hand. But then I think 51 hits Vox in the back. They're getting away, Forma. Ah! And Cap's yelling at Vox as he comes up with his shield to protect him. You're forgetting your training. You have had training, haven't you? The Initiative trained its recruits, right? We got caught by surprise. They had no idea you were coming. That's what surprised us. This is disappointing. Excuse me for a moment. Die, die. Hush now. And he throws his shield. And he picks up a rock and throws it and hits, reflects it off something and hits a guy. And then Veronica's like, this is Mama Bear. Tactical retreat, folks. Get the bleep out of here. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't entirely know what's going on right now. Those criminal masterminds, the ones who've got it all figured out, the Dooms, the Kingpins, the Zemos, that's not me. I'm just a small town girl with a little ambition, a cute haircut, and a teensy weensy plan. Teensy weensy. And then suddenly, there are people flying about and explosions and Captain America and Tony Bleepin' Stark. Oh, Tony, where did it all go wrong for us? Probably somewhere near the beginning. That plan of mine, the teensy-weensy one, Zeno scuppered it up when he stole Hydra from me. But that doesn't mean the plan is dead. It just means I need to improvise. What Captain America doesn't understand, what Tony Bleepin' Stark doesn't understand, is that I'm not out to rule the world. I'm out to save it. One dead superhero at a time. And then she and 51 are driving away, and he's showing the picture again. She's like, yeah, you want that? I can get it for you. To be continued, Bob.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, it's a good way to start the series.
Yeah, yeah. Has that same, you know, feel to it that the Falcon and the Winter Soldier miniseries did. Of course, not surprising. Same writer, but it moves right along.
All right, Bob. So on cover number 2, again by Alex Ross, nice painted cover, we have Iron Man in the foreground. So we have basically from the neck, kind of like the collarbone up area, top of the shoulder, but we only get half of the face. But the nice part is we get to see an up close eyeball on his left eye. So that's the thing that really sticks out, you know, off of this the rest of the armor. And then behind him is something that we've been very familiar with. This bust of Cap, where he's looking down. And looks like they're in rain, right? And they're getting rained on. But this image is something that we would have seen on volume 9 of Captain America, it feels like.
The detail on those, the wings on the cowl, man, are just incredible.
Yeah, if you like that sort of thing. All right, same creators as before doing this. So we're at the warehouse scene where we left off in a decommissioned SHIELD warehouse. And Iron Man is basically giving Cap and the reader a recap of what happened in the last issue. So here's what we've got. Pioneer, Vox, Prima Donna, and Think Tank, all members of various initiative teams who banded together to form the Paladins in order to, and I quote, make more of a name for themselves. They stopped a few low-level bad guys across Middle America, and then the fifth member of their team, 51, went rogue. His recent activities have resulted in civilian deaths. What do we know of him? 51? He's an alien. Flies, seismic powers, some telepathy. His suit might give him abilities we don't know about. Captain America, Iron Man, we just want to apologize again. And this is Vox. and then Think Tank. Our performance was not up to our usual standards. We looked like amateurs. And then Prima Donna says, in our defense, what Prima Donna is trying to say is that we truly appreciate your help. Donna, that's not what I was saying at all. And then Tony's like, what is 51 doing helping someone like Veronica Eden? This is all to do with Mirrodin. Iron Man, do you remember it? Mirrodin? The robot? It was the muscle behind a so-called supercomputer called the Overseer in the Caribbean. Big and strong and then blasted to scrap. And that scrap has been in S.H.I.E.L.D. custody until that evil version of you, Captain, took over. Now we suspect it's in Veronica Eden's possession. So a couple things here, Bob. This supercomputer Overseer and Mirrodin was in Iron Man 29. Now, Alana, thank you for the little note there. Mm-hmm. A little suggestion to Alana. There's been a lot of Iron Man 29s. I would have, if you were to guess, which volume would you have thought, Bob? Would you have think it was original or from the 80s or more recent?
I would have guessed the most recent volume.
I would have guessed the same thing, but I looked it up, Bob. Uh-huh. It was the original from 1970.
You're kidding me.
No.
Wow.
So, okay. Landy here is going old school.
Yeah.
Right? Like these characters were not seen or heard of since that one time they appeared in issue 29 in 1970.
Huh.
And then Think Tank is referring to the evil version. You know when that was, right?
Oh, we most certainly do, but I feel uncomfortable even saying it because I know we're going to have a lot of negative comments.
No, it was Secret Empire, Hydra Cap.
The name that shall not be mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So Vox answers, we think 51 wants to take Meridian off Eden's hands and that he's going to use it to launch a catastrophic attack on Minneapolis. Why? We don't exactly know, sir. We don't even know why he went rogue in the first place. One day, he's his usual inscrutable self. The next, he's trying to kill us. What about you, Think Tank? You're a telepath. Didn't you pick up anything? Reading 51's mind is tricky at the best of times. His own limited telepathy eventually allowed us to understand his language. But his mind? His mind is something different. I just get bizarre images and sounds I can't describe. That's why we're here. He's our teammate, or he was anyway, and we've come to take him down. We can do this. And with all due respect, we can do this alone. And so they go and they fly off. And Iron Man says to Cap, we're not going to let them do this alone, are we? No. We are not. So we get back to Veronica Eden's inner monologue, which I find it interesting, Bob, that this story is almost being told from Veronica Eden's point of view.
Indeed, it is.
And it's a little interesting, Bob, because she's like, I don't want to take over the world. I don't want to destroy the world. I want to save it one dead hero at a time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I really liked. I didn't interrupt you at the time last issue, but I really liked that bit of the inner monologue because it so perfectly encapsulates how some villains see themselves, right? Not exactly. As villains, right?
Right.
Like they're just trying to save the world in their own way.
Yeah, Dr. Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. They all see in that way. And Bob, I'm sorry. It took me 71 episodes to tell you this, but you're welcome to interrupt me anytime.
I didn't want to interrupt the flow for the listeners, though.
Oh.
So.
All right, so we get to the inner monologue of Veronica Eden, and it says, I know what people think of me. And we get to the next page, and there's a big splash, and she's just walking in her tight battle suit. holding a pistol in her right hand, and she's got a lot of pouches. And she's walking, and then her soldiers are all around her firing machine guns. And you see downed soldiers at her feet, and she's walking through. And it's almost like I hats off to the artist here.
It's a sauntering.
I agree.
Yeah.
And hats off to the writer here. I mean, I'm sorry, the artist here, because the detail of this splash page of the corridor that mm-hmm. she is going down, and then you can see the lights are on, and then to the colorist has tinted everything kind of a red or pinkish hue, giving you the impression that, you know, it's like an emergency red light.
Yeah.
Right. And then walking through and there's steam. And So it's like a battle scene. It's almost reminiscent of the opening scene to Star Wars, A New Hope.
You know, it is. Yeah. I mean, the depth of the hallway. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a masterful. This is a masterful splash.
Mm-hmm. I know what people think of me. They think Veronica Eden, smart, beautiful, cold-blooded traitor, try to take over Hydra, better legs than Baron Zemo. Baron Zemo's an idiot. She's way better. All that obvious stuff. But do they ever consider the girl behind the cute haircut? Do they consider her dreams, her aspirations, her triumphs and regrets? Does it ever occur to them that she's a real person with real feelings, who generally cares for the people under her command? Does it occur to them that maybe, just maybe, all she's ever wanted out of life is someone to confide in? All she's ever wanted is one genuine friend? No, it probably doesn't. So she walks up on the next page to 51. I got to be honest here, 51. You freak me the bleep out. I can't understand a word you say. You've got some very weird eyes, and you're an alien from outer space. That said, you did help my team break me out of that prison transport. My court case had just started, but I doubt it would have gone well, so I owe you for that. To pay you back, I found that certain something you're looking for, although I have no idea why you'd want it. And then she opens up a door to a warehouse full of items in a very dark room. Next page, Tony Stark's brownstone, Lower East Side, Manhattan. And they're in their civvies. Steve wearing a white t-shirt and blue jeans. A style that never goes out of style, Bob. Right. And Tony's got on some sort of tracksuit, some sort of thing with a collar. I don't know. And Tony's showing Steve his apartment. And Steve says, I like it. You do? You're not just saying that? Less glass than usual. I wanted something warmer, something less me. You really are on a journey of self-discovery, aren't you? I rebooted, Steve. I should have died, but instead my body just started over. I've been given an incredible opportunity here, but I still haven't figured out my place in the world. That's not for you to decide. All you get to decide is who you want to be on any given day. You get up, you put on your boots, and you do the job. Let the world figure out your place in it. You focus on trying to be the best version of who you are. Do or do not. There is no try. Nah, that's where the little green puppet got wrong. Trying's what it's all about. You know, I always liked your pep talks. When they're coming from Captain America, they're just talks. And then there's a beep on his wrist. That's the Paladins. They're moving. Suit up. What'd you think of that, Bob?
I think that's going to go down as one of the better Cap monologues right there. Mm. One of the better Cap talks.
Yep. All you get to decide is who you want to be on any given day. You get up, you put on your boots, and you do the job. And let the world figure out your place in it. you focus on trying to be the best version of who you are. All right. So we're in upstate New York, which is farm territory. And we're on a farm. And we see the paladins trying to break into a barn. And they're using Vox's electromagnetic power. And then we see what's her name? Strong girl?
Prima Donna.
Prima Donna. I gotta say, if I hear the word prima donna, I'm not envisioning this athletic, I don't know. She, like you said, she could be a roller derby girl, mm-hmm. right? I don't picture a roller derby girl when I hear the word prima donna. I hear prima donna, I'm thinking of someone wearing fancy clothes and lots of makeup and, mm-hmm. Very girly. Right. Right. This one's, she's more like a tomboy.
Yeah. I think they're going with probably the etymologically correct use of the word prima donna, which, I think people who dress up and, put on the makeup, they are envisioning themselves as, primary among they're no equals to them. In this case, I think what they're suggesting is that she is the principess. She is, at the pinnacle of perfection for women.
I didn't think of that, Bob. I think you nailed it. Here I am criticizing their, not doing a good job in what we would envision a prima donna, but you just nailed it.
And you looked right past Pioneer, which is just crazy. Well, you did talk about Pioneer earlier, but
I didn't look past her. What are you talking about?
What a wacky sort of.
What are you talking about? I said she was wearing a.
No, I don't mean look past. I'm just saying, prima donna is the least of this team's worries, right?
Oh, well, that's kind of like, Ginger or Marianne, I think we got, the Pioneer. What's her name?
I'm thinking of Pioneer. Yeah. I'm thinking of Ellie from the Beverly Hillbillies. This is what I envisioned.
Oh, yes. Yes, totally. Yeah. You nailed it. Yeah, absolutely. So we're watching Steve and Tony in their uniforms are watching the paladins trying to break into this this barn. And Steve says, "There's no record of this place even existing, Tony. You won't be able to find it on any map. The annex is an old shield bunker used to store seized weaponry and impounded alien technology, which means it should be better protected than this. Scan shows that security measures are down. It's already been infiltrated. Let those idiots waste time trying to get in through the front door. I found the side entrance." "You're brooding." "I'm not brooding." "You're sulking then." "I was just thinking about what a wasted opportunity the 50-state initiative was. I mean, a team of government-sponsored heroes for every state, each one plugged into a central command to allow for maximum coordination and efficiency. And this is what we get instead? A bunch of kids forming their own supergroups to get all the likes?" "It was never going to work, though. Heroes become heroes because they want to help. And that usually means fighting villains. You can't assign a team to a state where nothing happens and expect them to wait to find out who they're allowed to save. No one ever wants to go to Ohio. I've been to Ohio. I really liked it." "Of course you did. The 50-state initiative, it was a good idea. You hated it." "I disliked the government-sponsored aspect, but the intention behind it was noble. A massive Avengers roster that covered the country." And by this time, they're actually in through the side door and they're infiltrating. And then this next page in two, they're talking while they're taking out guards. So we get to see that while they're having this conversation. "Your heart was in the right place. I wish I could say the story of my life, but we both know that's not exactly true. I wish you wouldn't do that.
Do what?
Put yourself down all the time. Be so self-critical. I don't think anyone's ever said that about me before. They've said other things, called me other things. Genius, billionaire, philanthropist, narcissist, egomaniac. Because that's the person you present to them. But I don't know that Tony Stark. I just know you as Tony. What are you doing? What do you mean? You're being nice to me. Of course I am. You're my friend. You're being weird about it. So we cut to the next page, and it's a half splash. And I think the artist is doing a nice job, by the way.
I do, too.
I'm not familiar with this artist, Anzueta, but I can say that definitely is a good storyteller as far as layouts and panels. Inner monologue, Veronica Eaton. I'm seriously considering wearing a cape from now on. So we do. We see her standing there in a long red cape, and then she's got an interesting mask on, Bob. It's clear. It covers most of her face, almost like a face shield, if you will. You know, if you go to, you know, some place that, you know, they don't want to wear a mask, they're wearing these face shields, right?
Yeah.
You know, during the pandemic. It's almost like that, except it's the place, one place it doesn't cover is the nose and the mouth.
Right.
Which seems like
kind of productive. Right.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, so she's talking to 51 while he's working on something. 51, are you sure this is what you want? There's a bunch of stuff over there from Spider-Man's enemies that both S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra have been tinkering around with, and they are awesome. You know who else is awesome, Bob? Our podcast. You sure you want that? I don't even know if it does anything. Does it do anything? And he speaks, but we don't know what he's saying. I have no idea what you said, but hey, if you got your little alien heart set on it, then fair enough. Capes are cool. You want us to give it a once over when you're done tinkering? We'll do it free of charge. It might take a few hours, but it'll be no trouble. None of. And then all of a sudden he looks agitated and says something to her. And she's defensive. Again, I don't know what you're saying, but if you're accusing me of stalling for time, then how very dare you? And then you hear Iron Man off panel. I have a feeling this won't do any good. Next page, we have Iron Man and Cap walking up. But if you surrender now, we won't have to beat you up. Well, crap. This is Mama Bear. If any of my cubs are still conscious, grab a buddy and go. We're booking out. Repeat, we are booking the bleep out. I'm afraid you're not going anywhere, Veronica. Tony, is this because I didn't call? A little. But mostly it's because you joined Hydra. That's an interesting apparatus you're wearing. Oh, this old thing? And then she flings off the cape, and underneath is some sort of exoskeleton. Just something I picked up. Speaking of which, Captain America, I hope you don't mind, but 51 kind of borrowed an outfit from you, too. You weren't wearing it, so I guess he figured, why the hell not, you know? And Iron Man says, you're kidding me. And then all we see is Steve's reaction, and he is not happy, Bob. Uh-oh. And then coming out is 51. And what is he wearing, Bob?
That looks like the Hydra Supreme armor, Rick.
It is, and we haven't seen it since Secret Empire number 10, I believe.
Yeah.
And there he is, 51's wearing it. And she's got some sort of Dr. Octopus tentacles that she's wearing and the scorpion's tail. And then Inner Monologue says, seeing the armor his other self wore as Hydra Supreme seems to have put Captain America in a bad mood. I knew it was a dumb idea, but the alien insisted. As my mom always says, bleep them if they can't take a joke. Okay, 51, let's do this right. You go after Captain America. I've got, and 51 points to the ceiling, fires a ray, creating a hole, and flies away. And she's like, 51, what are you? Are you being serious right now? See, this is what happens when you don't have friends. Whatever. And so she gets in attack mode for the two of them. Veronica, this is your last chance to come quietly. You won't. Quietly? Quietly? Sorry, what was that? I missed it over the sound of me winning. And she is. She's throwing Tony around. She hits Cap in the face with one of her tentacles. But then all of a sudden, the contraption she has on her head starts to like spark. Oh, wow. This neural interface is still doing that, huh? Ask the tech guys to fix one simple thing. And of course, the Cap's shield comes and just knocks her down to the ground. What the hibbity? And then Iron Man picks her up. Veronica Eden, you're under arrest. But her tentacles come from behind and grab him and throw him. Damn it. You'd be surprised how many ex-boyfriends say that to me. Not that you were my boyfriend, but you know what I mean. All right then, gentlemen. This getup is only the prototype, but let's see how far I can kick your... Hey, wow. No, what the... Ow, my head! And it's Think Tank coming from behind her. And then Vox uses his electromagnetic pulse and takes one of the legs out. Nicely done, Think Tank. Prima donna, it's up to you. Yeah, yeah. What else is going to be up to? You're toast, Veronica. And she comes up and puts her in a headlock. But with the scorpion tail, she can easily fire a laser into the back of Prima Donna. How stupid are you, Donna? What's the point of grabbing me when I've got octopus arms and a laser tail? These things make me unstoppable. But then all of a sudden, the headgear sparks again. And then everything goes dead. Aw, damn it. Do something, you stupid arms. I was just bragging about you. And then Pioneer comes and she has her rifle and she starts firing at her. Everybody down. But Cap comes in just a time and jumps in front of her with his shield behind me. And Iron Man comes and takes the rifle out of her hands. What the hell do you think you're doing, Pioneer? And Veronica just overreacts here. I mean, she's like, she's just yelling. She's like, yeah, are you nuts? My gear's powered down. Veronica. No, Cap. She could have killed me. I would have never shot an unarmed. Oh, cool. My arms are back. She looks like she's about to fight again, but Cap just punches her in the face. Like Tony said, you're under arrest. And then we have on the next page, 8 miles above Minneapolis. That's pretty far up, Bob.
That is. That's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah. And we're in a half splash again, maybe a little more. And there's this big, giant robot. And this was what was the name of the robot?
The Myrmidon.
Myrmidon.
Yeah.
And it's now lighting up and there's steam coming and reactivation complete, system check successful, Myrmidon online, no life forms detected, no threats detected. There is only Myrmidon. Activating prime subroutines, rebooting external systems, rebooting God, rebooting God, rebooting God, all hail the new tech. And then on the last page, big giant splash, all hail the Overseer. And there's the Overseer. We haven't seen the Overseer since 1970, Iron Man Volume 1, back in the Caribbean Islands. And there's this gigantic, gigantic looking machinery type head that's glowing. To be continued. Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Is it the Caribbean or the Caribbean?
Ooh, I think it depends which direction you come from.
I come from the left.
Then it's Caribbean for you.
I do like the Caribbean. I say Caribbean, but yeah, I'm on. I found it strange. I said Caribbean just now.
Yeah. It's like I want to go to the Caribbean and have a tomato.
Oh, would you do that?
But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back tonight.
To Jamaica?
Not to Jamaica, but to
Come
Iron Man.
Back to Jamaica. Come on, sing the song. You know?
No, I don't know the song.
You don't know the song? No, that was a huge thing back in the late 70s, early 80s. It was the Jamaican tourism.
Oh.
Come back to Jamaica. Yeah, there was a little jingle. And you don't remember that?
No, I don't.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you. You
wanted to go back somewhere. No, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna read that that arc from Iron Man. See what this overseer is all about.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Crazy.
We should probably do that before we read the issues 3 and 4.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated that Landy went back that far to pluck some characters out of the distant past. So I got to check it out.
Well, you know, that I think that's one of the fun parts of being a writer. Is, you know, you do all that research. You like, you have some excuse to read comics.
Right.
I mean, like we've had different writers on. Like I know J.M. DeMatteis, he mentioned that, you know, how early on, because if you think of DeMatteis's run, right, he brought back Baron Zemo. He brought back, you know, Primus. He brought back like all these different characters. He brought back Jack Monroe, you know, like he went and was doing all his research. So it's interesting. Jack Monroe became pretty big.
Yeah.
Baron Zemo became huge. You know, these other characters that he brought back. Who's to say that Meridian, you know, may not become huge?
Yeah.
Thanks to Derek Landy.
It may well be. I think, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it, but I like this Veronica Eden character a lot.
I do too. I do too. She's fun.
She is fun and yet devious and clever and a bit maniacal, but it's all wrapped up in an interesting package. So,
yeah. If you're just being introduced to Veronica Eden's character now, highly suggest you go back to episode 27 and listen to the Falcon and Winter Soldier miniseries, the 5 issues we covered. That was a lot of fun. Plus, there's another fun character in that series called the Natural. You'll like that. Speaking of episodes, Bob, next episode, we are going to go back to 1981. I know we've been kind of stuck in the 80s lately with the Road to the Captain Part 1 that we did and the Cap 241, you know, versus the Punisher. But we're going to go to 1981. We're going to review Captain America 260. Now, I know you're thinking, what's special about 260? Why are you picking that out? And it's just one issue. So that is going to be a story that was written by Al Milgrom. And you might remember the cover because it's one of the classic covers it's a blue background. And then there's Captain America behind bars.
Yeah.
So there's just blue and white juxtaposition. That is going on. And so it's a cool story about Cap being put in prison and his ability to try to escape. Fun story. So we thought we'd cover that next episode.
Yeah. No reason not to go back to the 80s, right? Best of everything came out of the 80s, right? Best food, best movies, best films, best music, best parachute pants, best unconstructed sport coats, all those things.
That's 80s. True.
Yeah, best haircuts.
Maybe I'll have to put on my Miami Vice jacket.
Oh, yeah.
When we record next time. What do you think?
Oh, I wish I still had mine. You know, maybe I'll pop by the mall and check out Chess King or Merry-Go-Round and see if
they Yeah. I'm going to get out my skinny black leather tie. Bob, I got to tell you, as always, been having fun wrapping Cap with you.
It was. I can't wait to dig in next time.
All right. Well, he's Bob Lucius. I'm Rick Verbanis. You've been listening to the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. We'll be right back.